time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Tommy Brady got absolutely destroyed last night by the Dallas Cowboys, who I can't call the drama Dallas choking Cowboys today because other than Brett Maher, there was really no drama in that game last night, and they were dominant. And I got to tip my cap to Dallas on the performance they gave last night. But here is Tommy Brady giving what appears to be a farewell to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers media that's covered him for the last few years after the game.
I want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort. And I know it's hard for you guys, too. It's hard for us players to make it through. And you guys got a tough job. And I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support. And, you know, hopefully I love this organization. It's a great place to be. And thank you, everybody, for welcoming me, all you regulars. And just very grateful for the respect. And I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, Hickey, I was at the final game of Tom Brady's obviously legendary run in Foxborough. And I wasn't in the media room, but I was in the stands. And I've told this story before. My seats were right where the players walk out and right where they walk into the locker room and they go down that staircase. And I was chanting, Brady, Brady, Brady. Even though I didn't think that was going to be it, but you heard so many reports that that was it. And some fan turned around and said to me, why are you cheering? They lost. I'm like, it's the greatest quarterback of all time, and that could be his last game. But then I walked out of stadium, and I didn't know if he was going to be back or not. I was leaning more so that he would be back. And then I was listening to the post-game press conference, and it didn't sound like a guy that was leaving a place that he was there for 20 years. Ultimately, he did leave. Last night, that sounds like a guy that is gone from Tampa Bay. And that's been the vibe, Hickey, before the season, during the season, and now you could say after the season.
I get that's a vibe. Like I said, that's basically as big of a thank you and goodbye, see you later as you can give without saying it. I still get what I don't understand is why. Like, why is he rushing out the door? It's not like Tampa's that broken in the sense that, you know.
Maybe he looks at that roster, and it's a roster that won a Super Bowl a few years ago, but he sees it getting a little bit older and kind of breaking down right in front of his eyes. Maybe that's what I would say. Now, is there a way that he could go back there? Yeah, I think there's a minuscule chance. Is that a negotiation tactic last night? I would say no, but is it a possibility? Yeah. Maybe he wants a new head coach again. And we know that there's going to be a new offensive coordinator if Brady is there or not. You need some changes on the offensive line. That defense, solid, but not as dominant as it once was. But I think he's going elsewhere. I really do. Brady's asked on when he'll decide on his plans for the future.
I'm going to go home and get a good night's sleep as good as I can tonight. And
or when you want to figure stuff out. I mean, that was first.
No, I'm not. You know, this has been a lot of focus on, you know, this game. So, yeah, it's just be one day at a time.
You think this announcement will come quick?
No. I think he made that mistake last year. Jumping the gun too early on retirement, then realized I don't want to do it.
But the announcement last year was he was retiring and then came back.
Yes.
I don't think he's actually going to retire. So no. The reason why I don't think there will ever really be an announcement, because it will just be okay when free agency begins, Brady's going X, Y, and Z, and he's going to take this free agency tour. People are going to come to him and make their pitches and kind of state their case. That's what I think it's going to go down.
What do you think he has to think about if he wants to play or not? Like, I don't think that's a decision that you're going to make and say, tomorrow, wake up, I'm definitely playing. I think he'll take his time.
Sure, I think, though, down deep, he knows he's leaning towards playing next year.
I would agree, but I get after last year when you kind of jumped the gun, whether it's Giselle,
yes,
whatever the reason was that he says retiring, then 39 days later said, actually, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have that happen again. Like, I'm with you. I think he's playing.
Gotcha.
You just have to know 1,000,000% I'm all in or all out before you make any announcement.
But if he does go through with playing for next year, I don't think there will be an announcement from Tom unless it occurs on that show he does, the Let's Go podcast, which I guess is a possibility. But if he is going to play, I don't think he's going to come out and say, I'm definitely playing football next year. I think that will just be evident by when he starts his free agency tour, if that happens.
Wouldn't you have to make some sort of announcement, though? Because it's up in the air. Like, we agree. I'd say probably the overall sense is he is back.
I don't think he has to do anything.
But it's not like it's a slam dunk where it's like, oh, he's definitely back. Maybe just, you know, do the Michael Jordan.
But let me ask
I'm
you
back.
This. What is the announcement? The announcement is you're playing football. Duh.
I decided to play in 2023. That's
but then all.
All
the questions is, where are you playing football? Why not Tampa? Are you considering going back to Tampa? How about this place? How about that place? Now, if he does it on his podcast, you know, Jim Gray is going to say, Tom, whatever questions you want me to ask, I'll ask you, Tom. Tommy. That's why I don't think an announcement's going to come. Because
when you get asked questions?
On his Let's Go podcast. Does the podcast with Jim Gray.
But is that even in the offseason? I don't think so.
No, but I'm saying that's the only way. If you're going to announce that you're going to play next year, that's probably the avenue that you do it.
We did it on social media last year, so why don't you just put out a tweet?
But that was to retire.
Yes, why don't you put out a tweet saying, I'm playing in 2023. I'm going to... You know, think about my options.
I don't think he's announcing
the teams.
The only announcement I think you're going to get is either he retires, I don't think it's going to happen, or then the announcement of, you know, he's going to play is going to be done basically when the free agency process does occur. Or maybe he gives it to a reporter like Schefter, or he gives it to Ian Rappaport, sources say that Brady's going to play. I don't think, if it's just in the next few weeks, I don't think there's going to be an announcement from Brady, I'm playing football next year, because you don't know where he's going to play yet. He doesn't have a home. It's not like he's under contract.
Well, you can
right
just
now.
Say I'm playing, and I'm going to figure it out during free agency, but
I think that's going to come in the big grand post or that's going to come in some interview or something like that. Once again, unless it's on the Let's Go podcast. Tom Brady is asked if he thought he had a good season.
You know, we lost tonight. It's a team sport, so never considered any individual things like that. You know, obviously we came up short as a team, and that's really all that matters. That's all I've really cared about was team success and know how well we did as a team and how well we performed under pressure. And tonight was obviously not one of our best nights.
Yeah, that's the generic Tom Brady response. When he wins, he never takes the personal praise. It's always about the team. Let's hear Todd Bowles on his thoughts on Tom Brady's future.
Well, man, we'll sit down and have a conversation and we'll talk about it at that time. So, you know, it's not anything publicly that needs to be said at this time.
Tom Brady says this season was a disappointment.
Obviously not good enough because it's not where we want to be. You know, we fell short 2 years in a row. You like the courage, you like the fight, but we got to get better in a lot of areas, and, you know, we'll get to work on that.
Obviously, that was Todd Bowles speaking. I said Tom Brady. I apologize for that. Todd Bowles is asked if this team needs to enter a rebuild.
You never rebuild. You always reload. You know, you feel you got a chance to win every year. We just got to tweak some things from a schematic standpoint all the way around, offense, defense, and special teams, and obviously no one ever comes back with every player on the team, so we'll have some new faces in here. That's just part of the game.
Well, the biggest question is, will Tom Brady be back? And I still think Brady has some good football left in him. I still think he can play at an elite level. I know people are going to say, well, he finally fell off the cliff. Father Time finally caught up to him. I'm not believing in that from what I saw last year. I know that there were times he made some bad throws. He had a connection issue with Mike Evans. I think a lot of it goes back to the fact that he was rattled, mainly because of the offense. Like, I'm not getting into personal life stuff and all that. You know, we could talk about that. We've talked about that. But I think the main reason was the offensive line was not good. There was no stability on that offensive line. And that's when you see Brady play his worst football. It feels a lot like 2019 with what happened towards the end in New England. Let's go to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is proud of how Dak Prescott played to win last night.
I told him right before the game we were talking. I said, don't you be anything but aggressive. No conservative, be aggressive. Not that that made any difference at all, but boy, he was. And it made the difference out there tonight. It lifted not only on the plays he made, but it lifted the spirit of the team. And it's got us lifted now in a position to go play a really great team and a really outstanding team. I'm going to use that word, G word. They're an outstanding team.
Could you imagine any other owner in the NFL, Hickey, that has like a pep talk with this player, like a pump-up talk with this player before the game?
Have you ever heard someone contradict themselves in the span of 3 seconds, too?
Go ahead.
He goes, oh, yeah, you know, I told him to be aggressive. Not that made the difference, but it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Well,
that's Jerry trying to take all the credit for the win.
But you're right.
His words were so gospel and so important that they motivated Dak to play to win, because Dak usually plays to lose, right?
Imagine in 2014, there's Robert Kraft sitting in Tom Brady's locker before like the Seahawks game, or the 20-3 comeback. He's sitting there at halftime. Tom, I want you to go out there and play aggressive.
Now, I'm not saying like other owners don't go up to their players before the game and go like, all right, go get him, sport. Like, go get him, kick ass, let's win. Yeah, you see that owners on the field before the game's doing that, but to have the talk of Jerry Jones made it seem as if it was like a 45-minute talk before the game as Dak is doing those hip warm-ups and all those exercises that he does. He's got Jerry Jones in an earpiece and they're having some sort of conversation. Give me a break. So Brett Maher, probably the only negative Cowboys story from last night, missed four extra points. And Jerry Jones was asked if they're going to work out a kicker this week.
No, we won't. We just, he's done enough good ones.
Okay. Jerry Jones says Mike McCarthy is his head coach moving forward.
Don't go there. Let's don't go there. But let's don't let me, because I said don't go there, imply that I'm leaving it all.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. I'm real hard.
I'm being tongue-in-cheek.
I'm real hard. I haven't equivocated since last night in saying that Mike McCarthy I'm satisfied with. Okay. Nothing of the last 12 hours has changed my mind.
Whoever the reporter is there, I guess there's like a nervous laugh when you're interviewing Jerry Jones because what he's saying is so ridiculous that you want to laugh, but you don't want to be disrespectful. I sensed a lot of like nervous laughing from the reporter, like, what the bleep are you saying? But whatever you're saying is going to turn into audio gold.
He said he's very excited for Mike McCarthy. Did you pick that one up?
Wants to equivocate.
He's hard, was the exact quote.
Go, wait, what was that?
Did you not hear that?
Play it again.
Imply that I'm leaving it on.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, I'm real hard.
I'm being tongue-in-cheek.
I'm real hard. I haven't...
Oh. He's excited.
He is fired up for that one, let me tell you.
Get the Viagra out!
That's 30 years of road loss in the playoffs. We're waiting.
I don't need the Viagra tonight. I'm really excited what McCarthy did. At least they didn't have that slob Chris Christie in the press box last night with that ugly orange sweater jumping up and down, basically
kissing Jerry Jones.
Yeah,
he'll be there in San Francisco, without a doubt.
I was going to say something that I cannot say on the radio. That's why I paused and I was like, "Well, where do you want to pivot to?" Oh, can't say that either. Can't say that either. So Hickey, thank you so much for filling in the gaps.
Actually,
there.
Maybe not next week, but you know if it's Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants. Oh, I hate to say it. He'll be there.
Yeah, probably. I'll probably be there next weekend. I don't know, though. Does Chris Christie... Well, he'll probably get a private plane out there, but I was going to say... he could afford first class. I was going to say, those seats aren't that comfortable on the airlines for a large man like Chris Christie. Anyway, let's hear from Mike McCarthy. He says the team had a swagger entering the game.
To a man, everybody was... had great confidence in what we needed to do tonight, and I thought, you know, offense and defense played, you know, at a very high level this evening.
Let's go to Dak Prescott. I was really impressed with Dak, how bad he was against the Commanders, how up and down he's been this year, also has been injured, missed five games, still led the league in interceptions, but he was flawless last night. Dak on how he was able to bounce back after a bad Week 18 game.
I got away from the way that I play this game, got greedy. Tried to just force some throws, try to take the big ones, and that's not who I've been throughout my career. Obviously, just taking what they give me, waiting on the big shot, and I think it was uncharacteristic. So yeah, sure, it was a way for me to just dial back in. But at the sense, I mean, I wiped that clean and just I knew what this game meant.
Now I have not heard this audio clip yet, and they won, so it's different when it occurs in a loss. Remember Justin Pugh earlier this season? Who, when his kicker missed that, I think it was game-winning kick or game-tying kick, whatever it was, he absolutely went berserk. And even Pugh last night tweeted out, "Is there a kicker to be defended? You know, I'll be there," which was a very good tweet by Justin Pugh. So I have not heard how over the top at all Dak Prescott was. I'm going to assume since it came in a win, it was more relaxed and mellow. But here's Dak Prescott saying he has Brett Maher's back.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him individually, told him after the game, hey, let that go. We're going to need it. I just played like a week ago. So, I mean, that happens. But when you believe in each other, when you believe in what we're capable of doing and knowing what that guy's done, what resiliency he's shown throughout his career, no doubt that he'll come back next week and be perfect.
Yeah, it was on the Justin Pugh scale. I actually like that better than what Pugh did, because Pugh was like talking down to the media. How dare anyone criticize anyone in this room? Like, you know, other things happen. We win or lose as a team. Dak seemed more leveled, more appropriate, and honestly, I thought it was more genuine than what Pugh did early in the season. I think it was against the Eagles, if memory does serve me right, when the Cardinals did lose. Was it Amendola who was the kicker?
Matt Amendola, who signed, I think, that week, too, was, like, new to the team.
Yeah, he was on a few teams this year. So, Monty Ossenfert, talking about the Cardinals, he's now their new general manager coming over from Tennessee, and he says there won't be any ego within the Cardinals organization.
We are going to turn over every stone to find the right players for this team. We are not just collecting talent. We're going to build a team. We're going to look for the right type of players. Ego will not be tolerated in this organization. We are going to look for focused, driven, and people that are willing to put the team first at every step of the way.
So a lot of people are going to run and say that was a shot at Kyler Murray. I think that's just a lot of general manager speak in an introductory press conference. I can see why people are putting two and two together, because people get annoyed a little bit about the ego of Kyler Murray and Kyler Murray not taking responsibility and getting into constant fights with the coaches, and then getting annoyed last year how people are putting the blame on him for the loss to the Rams and how poorly he played. But the way that that's being portrayed, Hickey, I don't think that's a direct shot at Kyler Murray. I could see why people are lining that up. I just think that's typically what general managers say when they're laying out the foundations for their organization.
Also, I don't think it's maybe the wisest move on your first day there to kind of take a shot at the franchise quarterback who just got
paid. That's already paid. Exactly.
Yeah. He's coming nowhere.
Aaron Rodgers says he still thinks he could play at an MVP level. This courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
Do I still think I can play? Of course. Of course. Can I play at a high level? Yeah. The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Right situation, is that Green Bay or is that somewhere else? I'm not sure. But I don't think you should shut down any, you know, opportunity. Like I said, during the season, it's got to be, you know, both sides, you know, like actually wanting, you know, to work together moving forward. And I think there's, you know, more conversations to be had. I think no player wants to be part of any type of rebuild. I said that years ago. Reloads are a lot of fun because you feel like you're close. You're only a couple guys away.
Did you hear the grunt by McAfee? The moment, I'm sure it was a pelvic thrust too. The moment when he said the MVP part, McAfee's like, That's what I love about Pat. When he has something going viral, because he has such a good relationship with the guys that he interviews, and so many people enjoy going on the show, and it's also being seen too, like he just right away knows when the moment is going to be viral content. So that was a pretty funny clip. Rodgers says he's not going to play for a team in 2023 that can't win a championship.
If they want to go younger and think Jordan's ready to go, then that might be the way they want to go. And if that's the case and I still want to play, then there's only one option, right? That's to play somewhere else. You know, if it's not, and they, you know, like, no, we, you know, still want you to play and, you know, this and that, then it'd have to be, you know, the right situation with the roster. It looks like we can win it all, because there's no point coming back if you don't think you can win it all.
It's kind of weird, Hickey. Not that saying Rodgers doesn't want to win, but I feel like that's the most direct he's been in that quest to go get another championship. Like, there's sometimes I just wonder if he cares. It seems there like he really does care about winning another title.
Sounded very LeBron-like when LeBron said the other week, I'm not going to play the NBA if, you know, can't win a title. What's the point? What's the point in playing?
Well, LeBron, breaking news, you're not going to win another championship in L.A. Rodgers probably not going to win another championship in Green Bay. Last time I checked, LeBron's the Laker. Rodgers for now, still a member of the Green Bay Packers. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So last night, Dallas just destroys, absolutely destroys Tampa Bay. There's two takes from the game. Let's start the Cowboys side. Does this mean that Mike McCarthy is safe? I think with how dominant it was, and McCarthy the last 2 years, his first 2 years in Dallas, has won more than 10 games. I think getting a playoff win this year, and something gets lost in this, we all kind of look at Jerry Jones as someone that makes these crazy decisions and gets rid of people as long, you know, as quick as possible. How many years do we sit here and say Jason Garrett should be fired, but they never did get fired? And I know, right, Jerry will tell you, well, I love Jason like a son. It does seem like there is a real genuine bond between Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones. And I don't think McCarthy was looking, or Jones was looking to fire McCarthy, but if back-to-back years you have these great regular season and these embarrassing postseason results, it would open up the door for Jones to make a move, especially when Sean Payton's available, Dan Quinn on that staff, all that stuff. But with getting a postseason win last night and having it in the fashion that it was, a blowout, even though Tampa Bay was 8-9 entering the game, to blow out Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, I think that's enough for Jerry, pretty much regardless of what happens this weekend against the 49ers, to say, okay, I'm going to bring back Mike next year. And McCarthy's a guy, and sometimes we are at fault on this, for what his numbers are in his career, for the coach that he's been, I think he gets a little unfair criticism. Now, you could say it was more Rodgers than McCarthy in Green Bay. But Rodgers even talked about how instrumental McCarthy was in the development as well of Aaron Rodgers. So I said this numerous times before, players win championships, but you also need the right coaching. And at the end, like any long marriage, that there is some fighting. You could have a lot of good moments, and then at the ending, it makes it look like it's an uglier marriage than what it actually was. And that's what I think happened between Rodgers and McCarthy. But you look at life since McCarthy left. Sure, Rodgers won two MVPs. But we'll see how far McCarthy could take this. Because 2 years, yeah, you lose wild card weekend. Last year, Rodgers lost in the divisional round to the Niners. But that was coming off a bye. And then you see this year, Rodgers not in the postseason, McCarthy is. Now, who is better? Yeah. Obviously, Rodgers is better at what he does than McCarthy is what he does. But I think a lot of people think Mike McCarthy stinks. The guy does not stink. He's a good head football coach in this league. Will he win a Super Bowl in Dallas? Probably not. But how far can he take this team here? We'll see. Because this past week, on Monday, you know, yesterday, he destroyed Tampa Bay. Now, he could go into San Francisco. I don't think the Cowboys are just some pushover where the Niners are going to run right through them. And the Niners have been run through a lot of teams. They haven't lost since they were 3-4. But I think that's going to be a good close game this weekend. And if you get a good close game, like, there's one thing. If they get just absolutely destroyed by 40 points, then anyone could get fired. But I'm starting to think, Kiki, after what we saw last night, and I know for a while we said, okay, he's got to get to probably an NFC title game. Maybe this is in the moment, but I'm thinking McCarthy's back next year, regardless of how this weekend, for the most part, does play out.
I would agree. I mean, I guess the only thing is if you lose 41-10 in San Francisco, and again, the only team you beat so far in the playoffs in your 2 years is an 8-9 Buccaneers team. It's not very good.
But it's the optics of beating Brady and never beating Brady before. And you know how big Jerry is on the history.
That's good for Jerry. You know, he sounded very happy in his post-game press conference yesterday winning that game.
He would even tell you.
Yes, he was. So, you know, maybe that 30-year buildup of losing on the road in the playoffs has got to him, and now anything else from here is gravy. And I said that guarantees Mike McCarthy a year number three. But for me, okay, if Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl, I don't think at this point Mike McCarthy's coach gets you there, but it's Jerry's world. He's loving it.
But who are you going to bring in that wants to be there that's going to be that much better? Like, Sean, you would say Sean Payton, right? I don't know if Sean wants to be there. Because if control is such a big thing, he's not going to get the control in Dallas. So if it's not Sean, is there a name out there you think is going to be drastically better than Mike McCarthy? I would say no.
I'd be interested in a lot of these hotshot young coordinators. I wouldn't.
But over someone that's proven? Like a lot of these, how many times do we hear a hotshot young coordinator that ends up being a failure, like Adam Gase?
Well, how many coaches don't have their teams ready for a playoff game like last year? Like Mike McCarthy had this team not ready to go.
Sure, but then this year he had his team ready to go. So again, that's been improved.
One win, and then if it doesn't change in San Francisco, what really just changed?
They got around further.
Against a bad team, against the worst playoff team in the league. So congrats on that, I guess.
Okay, so you would say you would rather, like, give me a name out there that is not Sean Payton that you would rather have right now over Mike McCarthy.
I'd explore options, but Dan Quinn's a guy on your staff already I'd look into more. I would
that's
look
not a young
into
hotshot coordinator.
Ben Johnson, I would look into Mike Kafka, I would look into Shane Steichen. you, again, with the Cowboys being a big job, you will attract plenty of other suitors here that maybe we're not even thinking of off the bat with some of these jobs that, as you've said, and I agree, are not attractive. You can get a real pool of talent here around outside of just right now with what you got, Mike McCarthy.
You know, the name Dan Quinn keeps on getting thrown out there, and I think McCarthy's safe. I think McCarthy's back next year after last night. The name Dan Quinn keeps on getting thrown out there, and I give credit to R.J. Choppy for saying it. What makes Dan Quinn a better football coach than Mike McCarthy? McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. I know he had Rodgers, but at least he won a Super Bowl. Dan Quinn got to a Super Bowl with a quarterback that was MVP, and they blew a 28-3 lead. Like, this idea that Dan Quinn is so much better than Mike McCarthy, that's one that I don't get. Now, the other take from this game last night is the Brady angle. And I know we're in lockstep here. We both think Brady's playing football next year. The question is just where. And you still believe that it's going to be in Tampa Bay, and you think that there's going to be a trade that goes on with the Saints and the Buccaneers where Sean Payton goes to Tampa Bay and Brady stays in Tampa. Here's my question just to that, based off what you said earlier. Because I've got a few people that tweeted me, oh, what about Carolina for Brady and Sean since the Panthers are interviewing Sean Payton? If you are the Saints, where you look at the Saints to the Bucs without Tom Brady, let's just say, and the Panthers right now where they're assembled. Like, if you take Brady off the Bucs, aren't pretty much the Saints, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers the same team when you look at them?
Yeah.
Like, there's not like a huge difference.
I still like the Buccaneers roster the best of the three. There's more Super Bowl and playoff experience on that roster.
Yeah, you have younger defensive talent in Carolina. The Saints, you have Chris Olave, who's young and really good, but it seems like the Saints are always banged up each and every year. But I don't think there's that big of a difference. So my point is, for like someone like you is advocating Brady and Sean to Tampa, and the Panthers fan that's trying to get Sean and Brady there, if you're the Saints, and if you take, once again, Brady off the Bucs, I don't think there's that big of a difference with those three rosters. So if you're the Saints, wouldn't you just say, well, we have the rights to Sean, so Tampa Bay, we're not trading him to you. Carolina, we're not trading him to you. And if Brady really wants to go work for Sean that much and play for Sean that much, don't the Saints like have leverage here? Can't the Saints, if it's really between, if that idea is so clear in Brady's mind, which I'm not saying it is, that Brady wants to go play for Sean Payton. If I am the Saints, I'm saying, well, it's not happening in Carolina. It's not happening in Tampa Bay. You want that to happen. It's happening in one place only. We have the right to Sean Payton, and it's going to happen in New Orleans. Like, that's why I don't think it's going to happen in Tampa Bay or it's going to happen in Carolina where you get both Brady and Sean Payton, Hickey.
I sure they have his rights. I just don't think they're in a position where they're actually going to hold Sean Payton out of a place he wants to go to. Or if he says, I'm going to Tampa Bay, that's the place I want to go to, and then Tampa Bay's willing to give whatever compensation it is.
But I'm asking double whatever
New
I'm asking
Orleans
for.
Saying, no, we're not letting you go. I just don't think it's there in that situation where it's
why
sure
not,
they have
though?
The rights. I don't think it's going to be that contentious. We've never seen that before where they said, no, you're not going here. We've seen in trade to, you
but
know,
in division.
Yeah, we've seen it before. We've seen it a few times.
So okay, it's like you it's had, you had
crazy
Bra-
to
you
say,
Brady,
you know, coach is getting traded in division.
You had Belichick in division, fair, but no one knew what Bill Belichick was going to turn into at that time. This is a proven Super Bowl winning coach in this league. If Brady really wants to go play for Sean Payton, I'm saying you could go other destinations. It's not happening in Carolina, and it's not happening in Tampa unless they're going to drastically overpay.
Well, why would the Saints then approve the Panthers?
Well, it's the same thing. You could have conversations with him.
But why even get, if you're not going to trade him there, why even let it get to that point?
You could have conversations with him, and then...
What's that going to do?
Once again, you could have conversations, see if there's interest on both sides, but still, you cannot negotiate a contract with him until they get the compensation in return figured on out with Mickey Loomis and the Saints.
Right, if you're the Saints and we're not trading him in division, why even allow to, or why even approve an interview with the Panthers?
Well, just because you're allowing someone to go talk to someone doesn't mean that you're actually going to allow them to go work there.
But if you weren't going to, if you're going to say no, then again, what's the point of approving in the first place?
Well, is Brady going to go there? That's the question. If that's what I'm saying, if Brady wants to go work with Sean, and we don't know if that's true or not, it's just speculation, and then whatever you have back in Miami. If they get wind that Sean is going to bring Brady to Carolina, I think it's different than just saying, Sean, you go interview for the Carolina Panthers job.
Wasn't Sean Payton going somewhere that he either has a quarterback or knows he can get a quarterback? So even if it's Tom Brady or not, I mean, you got to think, again, if Sean Payton, let's say, goes to Carolina Panthers, you got to think something's up his sleeve.
Draft pick? Maybe it's more through building with the draft and trading up. I think that's different. Once again, it's an unknown commodity.
Tom Brady 46 years old next year. Does Tom Brady even have enough in the tank to win another Super Bowl? I don't know. I still think so, but you look last night, it's not like he was lighting it up. So if you're the Saints, I don't think you're petrified of a Brady-Payton relationship or partnership for a year as you would be just Sean Payton being your division for another 10 years.
But once again, if that's going to happen in my division and I could have it happen on my team, I'd rather have it happen on my team unless the price is so big where maybe it's two first-round picks. One for Sean, and then basically by de facto, even though Brady's a free agent, you basically add another first-round pick for Tom Brady because you know Brady's going to go there, then maybe that's something that the Saints want to do. Maybe that is something the Saints would want to do and say, okay, that's only going to really last like a year or two with Brady playing in this league. I still think Brady could play in this league. I know he was horrible last night. I know he's not been good this season. The guy led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns last year. For me, what it comes back to is that offensive line was just so dreadful. So dreadful this year. And you see in Brady's career, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Ravens, any team that has success against Brady and where he gets rattled because he's constantly under duress. Marco Belletti is here. And real quickly, I said I was going to ask this question to Marco each and every week, every day this week. You were at 65% last night about the Giants, your Giants beating the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that number at today?
Holding firm.
Still at
65.
Nothing's
changed yet.
Okay.
Yet.
Yet.
We'll see.
Now, when you mean yet, could that be in the positive direction or the negative direction?
Both.
Okay.
You know as well as I do.
But you were very positive.
I still am, but you know as well as I do. As the week goes on, and any gambler knows this, sometimes you feel something and sometimes all of a sudden it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So I leave it open to change my mind, but right now I feel exactly as I did last night.
Okay, the other three games. So you still think the Giants are beating the Eagles this week. I'll disagree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other three games right now, how alive is Dallas going into San Francisco in Europe?
Very.
I agree with you.
Very.
Hickey said 100%. He believes that the Niners are going to win 100% right now, 4.5, 3.5, depending what book it is. I think this is going to be a field goal game. I plus the points.
I need a little bit closer feel for it. Yeah. Right now, off the bat, I would say the Niners win, but I do think it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah,
and I don't like the Maher situation. As much as we want to joke about it and play around and it's fun, or you know, one, when a player gets the yips, it's hard to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a factor, and I'd hate to see it come down to that just for Brett Maher, because that's, I mean, you don't want to see a situation like that with an individual player. So I am a little concerned for the Cowboys in a tight game that they don't have the ability to kick a late field goal that they need.
In the AFC, Bengals Bills this weekend in Buffalo, which I know they played the same amount of games, and the DeMar Hamlin situation, obviously something we've never seen. I didn't really care what the NFL did in regards to how they schedule moving forward, and they had a decision to make, and now we could have a neutral site AFC title game between the Chiefs and the Bills only. Mm-hmm. But it is a little bit weird now, and I didn't realize in the moment, but now I see more of what the Bengal fan was saying. If they would have played that game, the Bengals could have won that game, and then they would have had the home field advantage.
Great. The game never got played, so mm-hmm. it's like you never played each other. You had one more loss. What's the problem?
Well,
the game never happened.
That argument, once again, would be if they did play the game.
Well, great. And if you would have played, maybe you would have lost. Who the hell knows? Yeah. To me, it's stupid. One team was 13-3. One team was 12-4. Like, I understand that if you're talking about a half a game, I get the Chiefs-Bills situation simply because it's one more game and Buffalo beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. You each played 16 games. You never played each other. One had more win, one more win, and one had one more loss. So what's the problem? To me, it's asinine. It's like little kid stuff. Well, we could have did that. Well, you didn't. It didn't happen.
Who do you like in that game this week?
Bengals.
Okay. Wow. Look at that. Just torch the Bengals fan base that I'm picking
you. Well, one's got nothing to do with the other.
I know.
It
was just funny how that went. I was not expecting that answer with what you just said. Shut up, Bengals fans, you losers, you jerks, you morons. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm picking you.
Yeah. I mean, again, hopefully the players aren't spewing this nonsense. Yeah. But, I've been worried about the Bills for a while. And I know that this is something that people kind of been talking about. So I don't want to sound like it's bandwagon stuff, but they have turned the ball over at an alarming rate. And I do still feel like, and I think we've all been on this for a long time with the season, they don't have a legitimate running game when they need it, minus Josh Allen. So you're putting Josh Allen in harm's way constantly. He's been making mistakes. He's been trying to force things. These are things that have been issues for a long time, and I don't know if they get corrected in one shot. I was very disappointed in what I saw from the Bills against the Dolphins. You let a team, forget the third-string quarterback for a second, you let a team that, let's be fair, should not be able to sniff you in your building in the playoffs. You had a 17-point lead against a team that could not move the football the week before and have really not been able to do anything. And you turn the ball over constantly, and you gave them a pulse. That's a problem.
So I know we got to get to a break, and we're up against it. The Bengals' offensive line, I got to see how healthy it is. Now, Collins out for the year, Kappa week to week, Jonah Williams week to week as well. That's a concern for me, but they had no offensive line last year, and we're a half second away from winning a Super Bowl if they could just block Aaron Donald for another half second. Now, just give me the team name because I'm going to hit the break. I'm assuming you're going Kansas City over Jackson.
Correct.
Okay. Close game or?
I don't have a great feel for that. Part of me thinks, it could be but most of me thinks I'd probably wind up laying the points.
Yeah, like the Jacksonville Super Bowl was last week.
Yeah, they start really slow, and I feel like if you're going to start slow against Kansas City, you're going to be up against that buzzsaw, and once it gets going, they don't stop.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Bengals defensive end Sam Hubbard, who saved the game for Cincinnati as he returned a fumble by Tyler Huntley, 98 yards to the deciding touchdown in the Bengals' 24-17 victory. The former Ohio State edge rusher's fumble return was the longest in postseason history as Cincinnati advances to face Buffalo coming up on Sunday afternoon. We'll end the show on the phones, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can always give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Do that right now. Jay in Dallas next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jay, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, how's it going? Just real quick, I want to say I'm a big fan of the Backstreet Boys intro.
Thank you.
I think it's awesome. real quick, man, I just wanted to get your opinion on the Dallas Cowboys game this Sunday. Just wanted to see, which quarterback do you think has the biggest challenge? Is it Brock against the Dallas Cowboys defense or Dak against the 49ers defense?
I think it's, it's a good question. I would say that it is Dak against the against the 49ers defense, because I think there's going to be more asked of Dak Prescott than there is going to be of Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy has played really well, but you look at the weapons around Brock Purdy, I think they're better than the weapons around what Dak Prescott is. Not that Dak has these horrible weapons. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Michael Gallup. I know Schultz has turned into a solid tight end. You had Pollard. You got Ezekiel Elliott. But I just like the weapons that Brock Purdy has around him better, with Christian McCaffrey, with Deebo Samuel, with Brandon Ayuk. And I do believe that the 49ers defense is better and has been obviously more consistent and dominant than the Cowboys defense. So I think Dak is going to have to play better than Brock, because Moore's asked of Dak, and I think he's going up against a better defense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And if I could throw in one more question, you know, the whole kicker situation was, you know, absolutely ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yesterday. I just wanted to see what can we do. I mean, can we have a backup, or is there even anybody out there that we could possibly get?
Yeah, well, you have anyone that's available that gets brought in for tryouts each and every week, I guess, in the NFL. I don't think they're going to make the change that late in the season. You just hope he bounces back, but you do get concerned about the yips in a spot like that where every point is going to matter. I think Brett Maher is going to be the kicker for the Cowboys, and I don't think you're going to have a backup kicker, you know, a field goal kicker on the roster. Let's go to Joseph in Houston next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Joey, go ahead.
Sir. How you doing? I got a quick comment I want to make.
Yes.
Over in Houston here, we already interviewed Sean Payton. So in my mind, if Dallas lose the game this weekend, I guarantee you Jerry Jones is going to be thinking about bringing Sean Payton over there. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have a nice evening.
Yeah, thanks, Joseph. I don't think Jerry Jones really even thinks about the Texans. That's how bad and irrelevant and how comical the Texans have been now. I don't think he's concerned with Sean Payton going in-state over there to Houston. With that being said, does Jerry want Sean? I think yes, to some extent, but I think he's also happy with what he has now. And I think with what occurred last night, the only way that they would open up that door once again of McCarthy getting fired is if they get blown out. And I don't think they're going to get blown out this weekend. So I know that Sean, his interview with the Texans does not mean that he's going to want the job. I know he talked about it on Coward. Doesn't mean that he's going to get the job. Now, the Texans would be stupid to not want to hire him. But just because they want to hire him doesn't mean Sean's going to take that job. So I don't think Jerry should be all that worried about Sean with the Texans. Because even if he goes there, you still got to feel much better about the direction of your team compared to the direction of where the Houston Texans are, because that is a long, long, long rebuild, obviously. All right, big thanks to Jason Lockefora, RJ Choppy, each and every one of you on the phones. Excellent stuff today. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey, and we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, and it will be the yearly coaching carousel on the Zach Gilb Show manana. Talk to you then, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.